Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD. Yes, longevity is the next disruptor. And what's limiting that? Well, maybe it isn't that you're getting the right nutritional supplements. You can go to mypersona.com and see what they have to offer. Take an assessment. It's free. And then you can find out what you're missing or not in your nutrition and choose that. This is the B segment. We're 979B, always the guest of the week. And we have a great guest for you this week. John Lehrer is the CEO of the Parkinson's Foundation. We're going to find out what he does and why the CEO is important in a foundation, as well as what the Parkinson's Foundation does. He actually has combined two foundations to link into one to help. Well, let's ask him what he's here to help with. John, thanks very much for coming on.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And now you have had an interesting background, and I want to go in that before we talk about Parkinson's disease in total. But you actually have been in the nonprofit world, and prior to merging two Parkinson's foundations, you merged two others. That must be difficult unless they have the same goals.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting experience and sort of rare in the nonprofit space. You see in the for-profit space a lot of companies coming together, but not so much in the nonprofit space. So I did it in food allergy. I took two smaller legacy organizations and built that into a national organization around food allergy. And then when I came to the Parkinson's Foundation, they had just completed a merger of two legacy organizations into one organization now, the Parkinson's Foundation. So obviously, with the first merger, I learned a great deal about what to do and what not to do, and was able to carry that forward when I was asked to be the CEO of the Parkinson's Foundation.
So what is the goal of the Parkinson's Foundation, the current goal, and how did you get an interest in Parkinson's disease yourself?
So I'll take the first question. When I was a child, I had a family friend who was very close to us, and she developed Parkinson's. So that was my introduction to Parkinson's. And then her daughter, who was one of my mother's closest friends, spent her entire life working in Parkinson's, and in fact was very closely affiliated with the Miami-based organization. What we do at the Parkinson's Foundation is really a few things. One of the biggest things that we do is try to ensure that people who are living with Parkinson's disease and their care partners and family members have the best quality of life and health that they can have while they're living with this difficult, degenerative neurological disease. The other thing that we do is invest in science that tries to understand why Parkinson's develops within the body, how it manifests, and to try to find pathways to better therapies so that people can control their symptoms and ultimately correct for the basic defect of the disease. So really very much focused on care, living well with the disease, and research.
And now the message is part of this is living well with the disease. You brought up the care partners. So I have a strong interest in the care partners from a standpoint of I recently learned in the dementia world that the care partner was a fairly stressed person in general because of caring for the partner, and in fact had a mortality that such that they died 50% of the time before the person they were caring for. So it's obviously a very tough thing. Talk to us a little bit, if you would, about the care partner with Parkinson's. Is it the same
Sure.
difficulty in that role, in that world?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, so Parkinson's disease affects about 1 million Americans. It's a disease that usually occurs later in life, after 60 years, but 60, 70, 80. So you can imagine a situation where somebody develops a disease and they're a little older, and their care partner, their spouse, the person they live with, may be older as well. And so the needs of caring for somebody with a disease like Parkinson's are considerable, because it's a movement disorder for sure and affects the person's ability to move around and navigate their living environment. But it also has a lot of other consequences, including cognitive and dementia. About half of people with Parkinson's will ultimately develop dementia as well. And so you can imagine the stress that's put on the person without the disease to ensure that the person with the disease is living well and getting all their needs taken care of. And what we do at the foundation is we host a care partner summit every year. We have a whole series of other information and resource channels to provide people who are in the care partner role, with the resources they need to ensure that they're not only caring for the person properly, but also taking care of themselves. Because if you're not able to take care of yourself, if you're not eating and sleeping and doing all the things that you can to keep yourself at 100%, then you're not going to do well by yourself, and you're also not going to do well by your loved one who's living with the disease.
And so this summit, tell us what it concentrates on, and how does one access the things that the Parkinson's Foundation does? And we should say your website is parkinson.org, parkinson, no S at the end, parkinson.org. Is that right?
That is correct. And if you go to our website, we have a whole section that's devoted to care partners and how to take care of somebody well with Parkinson's. More recently, we have started a conference, a convening, where we bring together experts, and we invite people from the public. And we also podcast it, for lack of a better word. We have a lot of people calling in. We offer it in both English and Spanish in real time. The Care Partner Summit is really all about, the best practical tools you can have or need to have to care for somebody with Parkinson's. It's really meant to not only provide those practical skills, but also a level of understanding that, you know, what they're doing and caring for somebody who's got a chronic disease is difficult and challenging. So it offers emotional support as well as practical advice and guidance.
And now talk to us, one of the initiatives I understand from looking at your website is something on a newly diagnosed patient. First of all,
right,
can you review the symptoms that would lead one to see a physician and say, do I have Parkinson's or does my loved one have Parkinson's? And then once they get that diagnosis, I understand some of what you're doing now is to help the newly diagnosed partner and caregiver help. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Sure. So as I mentioned earlier, most people, the vast majority of people with Parkinson's develop Parkinson's later in life, around the early to mid-60s. Usually before they go to a doctor's office, a neurologist's office, and get the official diagnosis, and that's really just done clinically. There's no test or drug there's no test or blood draw or biomarker that you can take to determine that you have Parkinson's. It's usually done on clinical analysis. But what doctors will look for are a few things, what we call a resting tremor in either the one hand or the other hand or the leg. And you can probably recall seeing this with people with Parkinson's where their hand just shakes, just when they're resting.
Let's define resting. So resting means when you're not doing an intentional task, such as
Correct.
Pointing at something. That's
exactly
intention
right.
tremor, which is much different and has a different prognosis.
That's exactly right. So imagine sitting in your living room in your favorite chair, and you're just watching TV and doing nothing else, and you may have an arm or a hand that's just shaking. So that's what we mean by a resting tremor. So that's usually one of the first sites of first signs of Parkinson's disease. But there are others, like a loss of sense of smell, which is, you know, people with Parkinson's will often lose their sense of smell first. There's lots of theories behind that, which, you know, we probably need somebody who's a scientist to explain those. But that's another early sign. Problems with sleeplessness. Some constipation issues, what we call freezing of gait, and inability to, you know, walk across room easily. Some of these are the early signs of Parkinson's disease. And so our newly diagnosed initiative is really aimed at the 60,000 individuals in the United States who are newly diagnosed with Parkinson's each year. And you know, what we have learned is that, you know, often following diagnosis in a doctor's office, most people leave with maybe a prescription and probably more often with a sense of bewilderment. You know, where do they turn to? How do they access resources? You know, how do they get on with their life following the diagnosis? And what we realized is that, you know, through a lot of anecdotal evidence, but some surveying that we've done, is that when people turn to the foundation and begin to access our information, our resources, whether it's through our website, which is, as you mentioned earlier, parkinson.org, or by calling our helpline, which is 1-800-4-PD-INFO, the number 4, P, Parkinson's Disease D, info, where they can access a professionally trained helpline person, whether it's a nurse, a PT, OT, speech therapist. You know, what we found is that when people go and start to access our resources, that their course, their journey of disease is better. You know, that's not to say that they're going to get better. It's a chronic degenerative neurological disease. So over time, people will slowly lose function, that's for sure. But by accessing our resources and talking to people, there are things that people can do, which is, for example, embarking on an exercise regimen, which is one of the biggest breakthroughs we've had in the last, you know, 20 plus years in Parkinson's disease. Whereas many years ago, people said, don't exercise, don't be physically active. Now it's just the opposite. And there's lots of really good evidence to say that not only is exercise neuroprotective, it actually may even be neurogenerative. So those are the things that we try to do. We try to put resources into people's hands, and that's what the newly diagnosed initiative is all about, so that when you leave the office, you're not just wandering on your own. You're actually going to a place, Parkinson's organization, Parkinson's Foundation, to get the resources that you need to start on your journey.
And in these resources, how important is it to get to a specialist? And do you, if there isn't one in your nearby area, what do you do? And I want to take, I don't know if you know the story of the of exercise and Parkinson's, John, but if you do know the origin, tell us it. And if not, I'll be glad to tell that story because it relates to a friend of mine at the Cleveland Clinic.
Sure. Well, I'll let you tell the story because it sounds like you're going to be able to tell it better than me. So I'm happy to, you know, pause and listen to the story, and then we can pick up from there, if that sounds good.
Sure. So a gentleman here at the Cleveland Clinic who's a PhD researcher was raising money for Parkinson's disease on a bike tour across Iowa. And he got on a tandem bike, a bike that has him in front and the patient in back, as it turned out. And it was noted that he noted that when she rode in back, and he was a champion cyclist, so was able to pedal the pedals at more than 90 RPMs per minute. And when he did that, her tremor and her symptoms, her motor symptoms of her Parkinson's disease, went away, literally disappeared for 3 days when he did for when he didn't do the bike they were doing. It was across Iowa, so it was a I think a fair number of days. And they, unfortunately, her symptoms recurred if she didn't do this. So that started a study looking at bike riding and Parkinson's disease. And that's one of the ways that Parkinson's disease has become exercise, at least part of it, has been remedied by exercise. And in fact, in some animal studies now, and I think they've gone into human trials, a fair fraction, I think it is around 33% of the patients, get a strong benefit from exercise at a forced RPM, a fast forced RPM. And in fact, as again, this is my understanding, so it may not be correct in total, that there actually is regrowth of some of the dopaminergic neurons, which is the deficit in the disease, into the substantia nigra in some people. Now, I don't know how common that is, but I've heard that story. So now tell me how well that corresponds to what you know, because obviously, it may be lore that
I think the story about the bike ride across Iowa is new to me, but everything else you said, and it's a great story, everything else you said is true. And one of our leading scientists who serves on our scientific advisory board, Dr. Rich Smeeney from Jefferson University in Philadelphia, was one of the early authors of a study that showed that exercise really does have tremendous benefit. And to the point you were making earlier, what Dr. Smeeney says is, you know, if you get a little out of breath when you exercise, that's the key, to be a little out of breath, meaning your exercise is rigorous enough that, you're starting to sweat, you're starting to be a little breathless. That's where the real benefit comes from. However, having said that, any exercise is good. I'm, again, going to draw on Pennsylvania, which is my home state. So the former governor of Pennsylvania, Ed Rendell, has been diagnosed with Parkinson's recently. And, he had a pretty active resting tremor. And then he started exercising very vigorously. And, he'll get up on stage and give a speech and hold his hand out. And it's as steady as a calm sea. And he attributes that to his, very aggressive exercise regimen. And so, we do see the benefit of exercise. Exercise in combination with, the main therapy, which is carbidopa, levodopa, are really the two ways people maintain their movement function.
So now I should tell you, as well as our audience, that we are brought to you these podcasts on Radio MD or iHeart or wherever you downloaded us from, and the You, the Owner's Manual Radio podcast. We always have the first segment is the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. That is what you can do differently to improve so that you lower your risk of all diseases, even Parkinson's disease. We believe you can change the risk factors from, just like Alzheimer's you can, with 40, if you will, basic things that go everything from stress management to normalizing blood pressure, avoiding toxins, etc. But that's what the A segments are about. The B are always wonderful guests like John Lewis is, who brings up the importance and exercise throughout life is one of those things that we think is very important at preventing or reducing the risk. And there are some genetic things. One of the others is probably nutrition, and that's where our sponsor, Persona Nutrition, comes in. Persona Nutrition or MyPersona.com is where you can get a 50% discount on your first order. MyPersona.com/ Roizen. That's my name, R-O-I-Z-E-N, and you get the 50% discount. But more than that, you get to go there and take an assessment of how good your nutrition is and then find out, are you missing anything such as vitamin D, or is it appropriate for you to be taking NAD, for example, as a supplement? So this is a wonderful program at mypersona.com/, if you put my name in, Roizen, and you can get a 50% discount on your first order. In any case, Persona Nutrition is the group that is bringing this show to you and to allows me to do it. So, John, let's talk a little bit more about the program for first diagnoses, and that is on we talked about getting into an exercise program if you have that diagnosis, and that you've had some very famous people with the disease, such as Michael J. Fox and Ed Randell. Talk to me about what the person who gets the disease and the caregiver should do. What's their first thing? Should they first log on to your site and try and find a expert in their area, or is it likely their family physician can help them manage it well enough, or what should they do, and what does the caregiver do?
Yeah, so it's a great question. There is, most people with Parkinson's, it's a neurological disorder, so most people with Parkinson's will see either a highly trained specialist in the disease. We call them a movement disorder specialist. And if there's one in your area, I would suggest that you go see that specialist. It's a neurologist who's taken a couple of extra years of training to care for people with Parkinson's and other similar movement disorders. But there's not a lot of them in the United States, only about 700 movement disorder specialists. So if there's not an MDS, and you can call our helpline, 800-4PD-INFO, to see if there's one in your neighborhood. But if there's not, then I would make sure to go to a neurologist, and particularly a neurologist who sees a fair number of Parkinson's patients, so that they've, had a lot of experience with the disease. They've, watched people over time. That would be my next recommendation. There are some very well-qualified primary care physicians in the community who care for a lot of people with Parkinson's and do a fine job. But the complexity of the disease is such that we really do encourage people to go see a movement disorder specialist if they can, or a highly trained, highly skilled neurologist otherwise. There are many different symptoms, many different ways that the disease manifests. So somebody who's trained is going to be able to help you more thoroughly than somebody who only sees the disease occasionally.
And so to get to that specialist, you said there's 700 in the United States. And now I'm guessing from what you've said, there isn't a list on your website, or is there?
Sure. So the Parkinson's Foundation has an entire network of centers of excellence. And these are often in large metropolitan areas in many of the states. There are 34 of them in the United States. And every one of those centers of excellence, and they're listed on our website, has movement disorder specialists as part of the criteria. So if you want to start in one of those centers of excellence, you can be assured that you're going to see a movement disorder specialist. But if not, you can call our helpline, 800-4PD-INFO, and one of our specialists on the helpline will help to identify a movement disorder specialist in your area.
And so that helpline is
1-800-800, the number 4, the letter P, D, and then info, I-N-F-O.
1-800-4-PD-INFO. 1-800-4-PD-INFO is the helpline. And I think that's really important, because what you want to get to is a specialist.
Correct.
John Lehrer, I want to, as President and CEO of the Parkinson's Foundation, thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for helping so many with Parkinson's disease, and especially newly diagnosed Parkinson's disease, and the caregivers. You've been listening to You, the Owner's Manual podcast. This is episode 979B. I want to thank you for listening to us. The B segments, as the A segments, are brought to you by Persona Nutrition. MyPersona.com is the way you find out more information about Persona Nutrition. Take a free assessment. If you go to MyPersonaNutrition.com/Roizen, you actually can get a discount. I think it's 50% off your first order. But there's no requirement to order. No, and to find out what you're missing or not in your nutrition, always useful to get more information. We want to thank John Lehrer for being a great guest. This is 979B, the A segments, the latest news of the week, and what it means to you. Thanks again for listening.